As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier from Odyssey's Nerd Talk. I'm your host, Gregor. And he's been a managing editor, blah, 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 Spokane, something or other. He's Brandon.
I've totally screwed it up. Nope, there it is. I found the sheet that we're supposed to be looking at together to be able to do this show.
Hashtag preparation H.
Hey, speaking of
that was before we recorded.
Yeah.
Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, supervillain, or happy, but if you are, let us know what we get right, or if you must, if you're Brandon's brother, what we get wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that butthole, speaking of.
Tell a friend, write a review if you're listening to this on demand, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
Yeah, this episode's question of the week is this a simulation? And a follow-up question to that is, if so, who do I talk to about programming my baby's teeth to just come in already and not be doing the like slow... like basically the way I view his teeth coming in right now is like the steamroller in Austin Powers, a movie that I'm sure you haven't seen because you've never seen a movie. You're like the movie version of Kanye, who has recently said he's never read a book, any book.
Yo, dude, that's different though, man. One of those is ignorant and the other one is, unless he's like dyslexic or something, I can understand Yeah, that's
So you've never seen a movie. So anyway, but my baby's teeth are like this guy driving a steamroller. It's not a steamroller. Is it a steamroller? What are those things with the big wheel, the big heavy wheel that makes the ground class steamroller? Where's the steam from? I don't know where the steam is from. Anyway, then he runs over Norm MacDonald very, very, very slowly. That's my baby's teeth coming in right now. And
is it making fun of Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Is that what it's making fun of?
Probably. I don't know. You believe it or not, I haven't seen it.
I've only seen the Spy Who Shagged Me. I never saw the first Austin Powers.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've seen the one with Fat Bastard, but that's it. Oh, is that? I bet you people would get real mad about that today, huh? Or wait, we are headed like super right wing these days.
Yeah, so yeah. Not. And he's Scottish, so like there's no limit on making fun of Scottish people.
I gotta start by giving a shout out to Senora Fernandez, my Spanish teacher. I've gone back to college. That's a real thing. And she had a discussion question for us this week that we had to go online and fill out. University is online now, by the way. All the assignments and everything on a laptop. It's been 20 years since I've been to school, so I didn't.
I was going to say, when I was in college, most of it was online.
Yeah, I had no idea, right? And so the this discusión número tres, ¿quién soy? Who am I? And it asks a bunch of questions, right? And like it gets into profesión, which is your profession. And I said soy un presentador en radio y podcast, right? I'm a radio presenter and podcast host is what that means. And I get into class today and she goes, oh, Greg. And I was like, hello. And, you know, I'm amongst like burnout 19-year-olds is like everybody. It's like your other brother.
Hold up. In high school, so I didn't take Spanish in high school, but I remember I wish I had because all of the people in the Spanish class all got to choose a Spanish name for their Spanish class. So because it sounds weird to be like Soy Greg instead of like Soy Jose or whatever. Yeah. Right. So is that not like are we too culturally sensitive in 2022 to like start picking Spanish names for yourself? Or is there like a Spanish version of Greg that you can go for? Like,
No.
Soy Gregor.
Today she apologized because...
So you've seen that.
When you have a group of... that's the Gregor joke, man. Anyway, like if I was a troll that lived in the darkness, that's the Gregor or the Gerg version of Greg is that. Anyway, today she was like going over if you have two girls, it's dos chicas. And if you have two boys, it's dos chicos. But if you have four people, two of each, it's... cuatro chicos. And she's like apologized for the class not being woke enough to recognize that the women shouldn't be made less just because there's men included in the
Let me apologize on behalf of a language that is millennia old.
Yeah, and she was like, but the Royal Spanish Society doesn't recognize it yet, and as a teacher of the, you know, confirmed thing that we teach, that's that. And so she like made her recognition of it, but also was like, I'm not having this argument. And she's the coolest ever. But anyway, so I sit down and she's like, oh, Señor Greg. And I was like, oh, buenos dias. And she says something to like, oh, Mr. Podcast Host. And I was like, oh no. And so it's me and like 17 burnout 18-year-olds, right? Like, and one of them, two of the chicks are like smoking hot. And I'm like, oh, I remember college now. But like, most of the people could not give a crap less about this class, but she announces that I'm like a thing in the class, and like there's nothing less cool than being like given recognition in front of people who make their coolness points off of not giving a crap. Mm-hmm. And she won't drop it. She starts talking about it. It's kind of technological, and you talk about it, but it's very funny. And I was like, first of all, thank you, because I am desperately in need of attention, so much so. And if you could just give me a hug and tell me I'm going to feel better, that would also be fine. But I understand this is a school relationship and we can't do that. But she goes on and on. And so I'm like horribly embarrassed. At first I thought she was joking because she just read the thing. But then she started talking about and the other guy and like she like listened to this show.
Oh, I hope she listens right now, mostly because I want her to join in on this I guess it's not an experiment now. It's more of a, I'm really interested to see how this plays out because I'm hoping that some of the other people in your class are also going to go listen to this now because I just want of all of the girls in the class for them to all be thinking, okay, am I one of the hot chicks?
Well, one of them, it's like obvious.
She
like,
knows, yeah.
And everyone, it's just like, we should have all just like put our hands up and be like, we're all on the same page.
And the like other girls, one guys. Is, and the other one is Professor Fernandez.
Hey, Maria. Anyway, she's awesome. And if Brandon just had me cross the line, I'm sorry. But if she indeed is listening, but she's super cool, and I'm so touched that she went and took it that far. It was just terribly embarrassing. And why can't both be true, right?
So, Professor, I don't speak Spanish. I took sign language for 2 years. Do you want to know my qualification for hosting co-hosting a show called Nerd Talk?
Yeah,
is that I lettered in sign language in high school.
I mean, I lettered in yearbook, so it's not like it's, you know, Six of one, half dozen of yes, other nerds.
We just put it all out on the table for you now.
The question. My life is in shambles, Brandon. I don't care. I'll admit to anything you need.
Perfect. Professor Fernandez, I could sign it for you, Fernandez. But you can't see that. This is a audio medium, yeah. So I'm not going to sign language to you. And I don't know Spanish sign language.
That's not sign language, Brandon. You're just giving her the bird.
I do know one word in Spanish sign language because you know how in, I don't know if people used to do this for Awkward Turtle. It's the thing where you put like
two hands
on top of each other, and then you do your thumbs out like a turtle. It kind of looks like a turtle, and people would do that for quote Awkward Turtle. I went to this thing once called it was like Silent Tuesdays or something like that, where we go to the Super Mall in Auburn, and basically a bunch of deaf people would get together and just hang out, and a bunch of people who were taking sign language classes in the different high schools would go and just have an opportunity to speak with like native speakers, right? Like, you know, as a figure of speech.
Signers.
LOL. Now the question though, thank you. So it's one of it was quiet, and one of the girls one of the girls did the Awkward Turtle thing, and then one of the deaf guys who knows both Spanish and American sign language was like, "What are you doing? Like, why did you just do that sign?" And she was like, "Oh, it's a Awkward Turtle." And he was like, "That means lesbian in Mexican sign language."
And he's like, "I'm so down."
He's like, "How did you know?"
This is amazing. I think we could just stop right now. This has been an amazing talk. I feel much better temporarily. And then, we'll just carry on.
So is this a simulation? Because if so, that was the best part.
So I'd like to acknowledge that we are doing this podcast on the tribal. I'd like to acknowledge that today's episode is pre-recorded, because they all are, even though we pretend like they're live. I just have to say that because tonight NASA is expecting its small, fast-moving probe, the DART program, to slam into an asteroid to see if they can like shove this space rock out of the way, you know, just in case. They launched it atop a puny little rocket to fly millions of miles on a collision course. And I say puny because in the animation, the DART craft hits the asteroid at 14,000 miles per hour, an unimaginable speed. And it just kind of looks like a grasshopper hitting your windshield between, Seattle and Spokane on I-90 or whatever. Yeah. It does not look like it does, absolutely anything. I'm sure they've done the math and they understand, likely how it would work. But I'm more worried that it's not that it won't work. I'm more worried that this isn't a test. And they just aren't telling us, because why would they?
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't work, like the dinosaurs, we're going to go from one of the hottest summers on record to another ice age.
Yeah.
Like, real fast. Or as Rick on Twitter points out, it's pretty much the plot for Armageddon, which...
A movie that you haven't seen. Yeah.
Correct.
Which you should absolutely see, because it goes into this entire... Like, of course, there's a genre of movies that are, like, space movies, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like... Even within the genre of space movies, there is a subgenre. Like in horror films, you get like slashers, or you get suspense, or blah blah blah, right?
Sure.
In space genres, or in space genre, there is a subgenre called send guys up who aren't astronauts to space in order to do things in space. And Armageddon falls into one of those, because like the entire plot is like, well, instead of training astronauts because there's no time, because this asteroid is going to destroy the Earth, instead of training astronauts, let's just train Bruce Willis. No, let's have these who was dead the whole time. No, he wasn't. Just at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert, but it's been out since the 90s, so suck it.
Was he really dead at the end, or is that just the other movie?
Yeah, no, he dies. He sacrificed himself.
Okay.
And I don't feel bad about spoiling it for you, because it's been out for literally 30 years.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel bad.
Now,
just don't tell me anything about Santa Claus.
He's also dead at the end of their Armageddon.
Took a meteor right to the reindeer.
Obviously the meteor is coming toward Earth, and instead of they don't try to knock it off of course. What they do is they send a bunch of miners, not children, but people who do the mining profession, to drill into the middle of the thing. They land on the asteroid, they drill into the middle of it, they plant a nuke, and then they blow it up from the inside in order to get it to split and go around the Earth, each half of it to go around the Earth. and continue on its path, I suppose.
I want to read what actual scientists think about that film. I want to know, like, that sounds absolutely ludicrous that it would, like, split and go, like, around the Earth. It seems like it would just split and then still crash into the Earth in smaller parts.
Yeah. And so, but, like, this subgenre, like, there's also space cowboys, which I suppose those were all... Those guys were all astronauts at one point, but Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, they were just old. So it was like, it's just the idea of like, let's take something where we could send astronauts to do a job, but let's actually just take, like, how, what do we change about it?
They're like all the movie Space Camp. Max and Jinx are friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, but I have the same fear as you.
You have the same fear as me that they would be not telling us the truth and then something would be happening and then we would end up getting smushed.
Yeah, because I'm always like, look, if
my fingers are crossed, bro.
If there was an asteroid like hurtling toward the planet, it would make no sense to tell us about it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, social unrest, chaos, more than we've already got, right? Like, it makes absolutely zero sense.
I've got two things about this. One, are you driving towards it or away from it? They're like, it's going to hit Montana. Are you like, let's go, I-90.
I'm right here.
Yeah, I mean, or are you like, let's get to somewhere else, like the ocean or something? Like, what? Which way are you headed?
I mean, away from the thing is my initial response, because as much as I joke about, I mean, not joke, I'm clinically depressed. As much as I joke about, like, all of the things that come along with depression that we don't need to talk about, like, I'm probably not going to try to go out that way. And so I'm probably driving away from it, but also, like, I'm in Spokane, and by the time they tell us, they're gonna be like, well, sorry, Spokane's and then
they'd be like grab your gun and start shooting at it.
Come on, man. No, man, Bruce Willis is up there. I don't want to hit him on accident.
No, I ask because, like, since I've been maybe this speaks volumes about myself or whatever, that since I was a kid, even, like, I'm old enough to barely remember when the Berlin Wall came down and the Cold War ended and stuff like that. And there was, like, always the storyline to the bad guys are the Russians and the good guys are the Americans and it's going to be nuclear war. It was like then it became the terrorists instead of the Russians, and that's became way more racist.
Yeah, did you know there's a huge debate about what was I didn't see the new Top Gun movie, but there's been a huge debate of people online trying to be like, what country is it supposed to be? Is it Russia? Is it Iran? Is it like Afghanistan? Yeah,
is it
whatever?
Just is it just kind of like oblivious or ambivalent?
But like nobody wants to name the country because
yeah,
it's
of
like,
course
blah,
because
blah, blah. Yeah.
That's progress, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess you'd say. But I mean, it's Russia, right?
So, but like, I thought about bombs. I remember going to my first day of either sixth or ninth grade. I can't remember which one it was. We went for the orientation, and they took us to the library to show it to us. And I remember checking out a book, and it was called After the Bomb, Week One. And it's what would happen after an atom bomb was dropped somewhere, let's say Los Angeles, like what would happen to our culture and our society, and how bad would the fallout be from all that? Pretty heavy reading for like a sixth grader, right? Or maybe it was sixth grader because it was Madison Middle School. Yeah, okay. And so I read that, and it turns out that was the second book in the series. So I wasn't set up with the first book, which was even more horrifying that, like, what would you do as an entire city if you knew that you only had limited time to get away?
Right.
And at that point, I was like, oh, I'm driving straight for that bomb, dude. I can't even drive a car, and I'm like, I'm going straight for it, because the aftermath is a billion times worse than if you...
Just sounds like way more terrible, like, to deal with all of the culture that exists. I mean, we've all seen all of the post-apocalyptic... and, like, I'm not trying to, like, think of... what's a good, like, post-nuclear...
Terminator,
exactly, right? Like, who wants to deal with wars against robots, and, like, especially robots these days?
But it's beyond that. It's the infrastructure that you lose. You don't realize, this is the thing that I go on, and I sound like a stoner my whole life because I've always been bent out of shape about this. But
bro, you ever think about water pipes, though?
Yeah, man, that's exactly it. It's plumbing.
Yeah.
Like the idea that, you know, when you have just a bunch of poops hanging out and outside your house, that, like, the disease follows it. But when you can just shuttle it off somewhere and it's gone, then we stay like a bazillion percent healthier as a result of being able to eliminate our eliminations. And so you get rid of that stuff, and I mean, life goes back to bubonic plague times. Like, it's We're not talking about like a breakdown in just.
Yeah, you're not like, talking about like roving factions of people who are like scouring food and ammo and trade in like building these
first
massive
the collapse.
Forts and things like that. It's like the first thing that happens is like, oh, my poop don't go anymore. Like now I'm sick, right? Like
yeah. And that's how, like, the first most, like, first the bomb explodes, then the people die of the diseases that were avoidable, and then all the people that were like, see, I told you we shouldn't use vaccines, and then smallpox is back, and then you break out into pustules, and you live a horrendous life and until you die from it. Like, that's just the first phase after the devastation. Then it's the survivalism. And, like, let's just face it. Like, I'm not making it to survivalism point. Like, so might as well drive towards the freaking nuke, right? And in this case, it's an asteroid headed to Earth that we're trying to destroy as they send DART towards this flying piece of rock to test it out.
So now there's not even like a potential, like if this asteroid comes down, like at least with a nuke. I mean, look, superhero movies, right? The origin story is always like exposed to radioactive stuff and it's like becomes radioactive
cancer.
Man,
no, wait.
Right? But no, no, that's what I'm saying is like, okay, drive towards the nuke because worst case scenario, I die. Best case scenario, I develop superpowers. What's your superpower? My superpower is I develop white blood cells faster than everybody else.
It won't do me any good because there's no one left around, but it's, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, so that thing happens tonight as the time of recording on a Monday afternoon. That happens Monday night at 8 p.m., so we'll talk about it maybe next week. Now,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
In other space news that is a little more, I don't know if hopeful or positive or neutral, I guess, the James Webb Telescope is giving us awesome photos of seemingly everything. A few weeks ago, it was Jupiter that they pointed it at, and it gave us these beautiful, beautiful photos of like this like infrared Jupiter, and it's just spectacular. But this time, it's the furthest away planet in the solar system, Neptune, which happens to be my favorite non-Earth planet because of one of its moons. I'll explain that in a second. But
I mean, is Earth really your favorite planet?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to think about it because I'm like, is there a spaceship that I can live on? Because then no.
Yeah.
But if it means I stop living right now mid-sentence, like, yeah, then Earth's my number one, I guess. But this thing is like, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought here. Anyway, they pointed this James Webb Space Telescope at the planet Neptune, and it's still so far away that even this thing, it's like kind of between mediums, because like it can study like far away galaxies, or it can study our own solar system, but it's like at the edge of the like of the short lens, you know, so it's still not like as crisp a photo. Or
it keeps saying on the screen, move further away, move further away in order to get
yeah, right, exactly. And when Voyager 2 was there, or even the first one that went out there, I forget what the first spaceship that checked it out was. Hubble. Hubble has the best photo of it because it's designed for that kind of range or whatever. But Voyager was there, and it has a beautiful photo too. I might have those two backwards. It doesn't matter though. And so, this one gave us one in infrared, and it's awesome because you see the planet. And something that most people don't know about the planets in our solar system is that I think four of them have rings. And it's because the way planets form is there's like an accretion disk, I think is what it's called. And it's a bunch of different rocks and gases and stuff that are in a spot. And then as they smack into each other and they get bigger and bigger, they form a center point for gravity. And then they start pulling more and more stuff into it. And if something goes flying by and gets caught in the gravity, it might, like the way Saturn's rings formed, they think, is that an ice moon was going around it and it got too close to Saturn and it reached its breaking point, which is called the Roche limit, and it exploded and ice chunks went everywhere over the course of like a really short amount of time, like a week. It all dispersed around Saturn, and because it's water ice, it reflects back really well. And we think they're relatively new because there's not a lot of dust on them, and so as they get older, they'll become dustier and we won't see them as well. And that's kind of what's going on in these outer planets. And so this thing, you see Neptune, you see its rings, and then you see some shepherding moons in there.
Has anybody seen Hoth recently? No. It's like, oh, Death Star got that one too? Ah,
son of a bitch. But then, quite the distance away from Neptune is this other, it looks like a star in the image. I have it there if you haven't seen it, but it looks like a star. But it's one of the moons of Neptune called Triton. And Triton is massive, much further outside of the orbit, and it orbits the opposite direction of the other moons. And so everything goes in like a solar system, like our planets around the sun, and this one's going the other direction. And so one of a couple things happened. Two things like bonked into each other and exploded, and a big chunk got stuck into orbit, or something was coming in from the Oort cloud, or the Kuiper belt is what I meant. It's coming in from the Kuiper belt, and it got stuck in the gravity and it couldn't get free. And so it's got this like wacky extra planet that's caught in an orbit around this. And so we have this amazing view of it. It's beautiful. And, you know, I never think of Neptune like that, but seeing it in with the infrared is really cool.
It looks like a marble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, it's a great way. You should look at the Jupiter ones if you scroll through the feed in there. The Jupiter ones are incredible. It's like a giant cat's eye marble. It's like crazy how beautiful it is.
It's on Orion's belt.
What it's showing us is
Men in Black, movie amazing. You haven't seen.
No, I've seen it. But yeah, it's you're seeing the different bands of radiation and light that are coming off of it, and they glow this beautiful, like, cold blue around these planets, and it's just so cool.
It's funny because when you like, I'm looking at the NASA Instagram page now, which, give that a follow now.
Are you on NASA Web? Is that what you're looking at?
No, I'm looking at NASA, and it's cool. And I'll go look at NASA Web in a sec. But when you scroll through, it's, and you see, you know, Instagram is three wide, and then you have just rows of three and three, and it's like, wow, cool, wow. And then there's like this picture of Neptune that you're talking about where you're like, yeah, but like all the explanation, you're like, okay, that's actually really rad. But like, if you look at it in the feed next to everything else, you're like, oh, okay, mm-hmm, okay, everything else is way cooler than that.
Yeah, so it's fantastic. I like love this like space stuff, and we talk about it a lot, how I get really goofed up on this like solar system stuff, and it's like so fun to talk about. So that this is right up my alley from these. And then the other thing that's happening right now is that Jupiter, it's all over my feed right now. Jupiter's in, now granted, I'm the host of Nerd Talk, so I follow a lot of space centric things, but Jupiter at the time of recording is the closest it's been to Earth in 59 years. That's specifically today. And it's actually been like clear enough overnight to be able, when I come out in the morning on my way, at the absurd time that I get up to go to work, it's still dark out and you can see it. It looks like the brightest star in the sky because it's called in opposition, which means it's the sun and then the Earth and then Jupiter. And if you drew a straight line, they would all connect.
Cool.
And so you're seeing Jupiter super well lit up by the sun as it's reflecting back, and you can see some of the moons around it if you get out your binoculars or a high power camera. And every day it's out there, like, it's brilliant and beautiful. If you're a person who actually stays up at night after the sun goes down, look to the east and you'll see it rising. And
you'll see Brandon waving at you from Spokane.
Hi!
And then behind
shooting a gun
him,
at Bruce Willis.
On an asteroid. Now, it's are we sure that we're not firing this this dark craft at like NASA says, oh, we're going to shoot it at an asteroid to see if we... But now we know that Jupiter is getting closer and closer and closer. Are we sure we're not just trying to like knock Jupiter? It's like, Jupiter, codename Bruce Willis, shoot this thing.
I got to tell you, Jupiter's massive gravity is enough to actually offset the sun a little bit, because the center point between their two gravities isn't like directly within the center of the sun. So
yeah,
as Jupiter goes around, it barely pulls the sun around out of place a little bit and changing everyone else's thing. So a couple, a tiny little spaceship headed towards it, that thing's like, yeah, get out of here. So, yeah. Anyway, that's if you get a chance to go outside. I mean, for the next 2-3 weeks, you'll be able to clearly see it. It's like so obvious. It's the brightest star, not the moon. Okay, that's not Jupiter. But if you get, like, I just took my 70 to 200 millimeter lens out, and like 200 mil is not like unheard of for a pair of binoculars. And like, if you set it just right and you find a dark spot, like, you can see some of the Galilean moons going around Jupiter. It's awesome.
But you're saying that, like, even me without a camera, like, I should be able to go out and look east up in the sky and with the naked eye still be able to see the planet.
Oh, for sure. Like, it's not, you're not like, wow, that's Jupiter, but you're like,
that's,
it's
a bright thing that I didn't see before. Okay.
And it's off-white. It's like, when if I pointed to it and I was like, that's Jupiter, you'd be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, and Jupiter is like only, Jupiter is as big as all of the other planets in the solar system combined. And so, but then the sun is like still like, you know, 100 Jupiters or something like that. So it's like the two are vastly different sizes, but it's like the biggest thing in our solar system that's not a star. It's maybe even a failed star, they hypothesize, that the sun took too much of the cloud that was there and made it in, you know, the whatever it is, hydrogen or whatever, and made.
That's why we got to be careful with the cloud, man.
We're storing all my hydrogen in the cloud. What a mistake. That's what NASA did. That's why the SLS can't go up.
That's where they're getting the vaccines.
So Vanity 5G. So Vanity Fair reports that James Earl Jones has retired from voice acting. One of his most iconic roles, he's hanging up the helmet.
Oh.
Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth Vader.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Well, I thought it was the... No, never mind.
Rather than seeking out a replacement actor or voice actor for the job, Lucasfilm is turning to a Ukrainian voice AI company. Ooh, bad timing. With permission from James Earl Jones, they're going to recreate the voice with computers. Which, if there's one character where that makes sense, it's for the guy that's more machine than human. And I feel bad for all the voice actors out there, but they've already done this for the Obi-Wan series, and it was awesome.
Yeah, now, it was actually good. It wasn't like you didn't feel like you had Hayden Christensen going through. Well, you remember those Darth Vader masks that you could get back in the day that like change your voice?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it did not feel like that. With him going, ooh. But if you watch Rogue One, that was in 2016. I've done the research today about this. If you watch Rogue One, it sounds like an 80-year-old man voiced it, and that's like 6 years ago. Because at the time, he was in his mid-80s, and it doesn't work.
Give me the plans, whippersnapper.
And do it by 4. I have an early bird dinner to get to. And he's, you know, he's supposed to be, Darth Vader's younger in that film by 10 minutes than he is the first time we see him ever on screen in, you know, in A New Hope. Yeah. And so it's weird to have that, but then they can go back and recreate it so brilliantly. I hate the idea that they're going to use AI to be able to replicate all this because it discourages the arts from growing. But after a 40-year run as a character, I'm pretty okay with the man machine being replicated.
Well, and you have somebody like, it's hard to say because the only time that you would be replicating the voice or image of somebody is like when they are so iconic that to do it differently would be worse. Except for the fact that like you look at how they recreated Princess Leia in Rogue One, right? Where
it's
or
still
even
weird.
Tarkin, what's the actor's name, right?
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, Grand Moff Tarkin. I don't remember the actor's name, but Peter Cushing.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, like when they recreated those guys, it was like Uncanny Valley where they were like they were CGI obviously, but it was like too CGI to not be human, but not CGI enough to be like different, you know. So it created this kind of like very strange
the leap is good though. They got within like, it's like the Seahawks winning back-to-back Super Bowls. You were right there, and then it didn't happen because you didn't give the ball to Marshawn. Yeah. Like, they're right there. They'll make a breakthrough where it works.
But I guess like my concern is like we're gonna get to a point where CGI is going to be good enough, right? And so is the voice AI is going to be good enough that we're not going to think about actor. Like, you're just be like, we need a person that looks exactly like this. So we're just going to create it, you know?
For sure.
And then, like, all of a sudden, like, not that I'm worried about the profession of acting going away. Like, oh, no, you get paid billions of dollars to, you know, fly around the country or the world. I'm not that flippant about the arts. I think that like The Rock has played the same character in every single movie he's ever been in, and gets paid a lot of money for it. So, but there's part of me that's like, it's weird too. From, you know, hopefully that James Earl Jones, once he does pass away, like his estate,
body goes straight to hell.
Obviously, because he's been turned into AI. Just like the financial aspect of it is really strange. Like I'm less worried about the ethical aspect of it as I am about just like the, from an entertainment standpoint, like, wouldn't it be cool? Like, I actually really liked the Han Solo movie.
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I thought it was really cool to see a young actor doing the part of Han Solo. You know, even though Harrison Ford acted that character at that age, essentially, you know, and so
it would have been way worse if they had, at the stage of technology we have right now, if they would have tried to recreate young Harrison Ford. And the voice is something that they can get a lot easier. One of my smartest friends, I told him that, like, it takes so much more data for visuals than it does for vocal performance or for audio performance, because there's just, you're dealing with photons and all these different dimensions of color and visual, and with voice it's so much less data. Just look at an hour-long album versus an hour-long television show and you'll see the huge leap in between the file sizes. But like, you could even AI generate a character to play young Han Solo and then do his voice AI generated. And if you closed your eyes, I'd be willing to put my money on the fact that you could close your eyes and not tell that it wasn't Harrison Ford. But as soon as you opened them, you'd be like, what is this? That new Avatar film?
Yeah. Do you think that there's like a, we're at this point with voice technology where like yeah. your Siri's and your, you know, all your Google assistants and stuff like that, they're doing their best to imitate like a real human inflection and tone and things like that, that only a person who naturally speaks would, that's not to say that some people don't and do. I'm just saying that like a human who instinctively puts in their own tone and things like that into the way they talk. Like, I feel like AI still hasn't quite figured that out. Like Siri hasn't quite figured it out. Like
it's getting there.
Close. But like, I mean,
you use Google, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You use the Google Home stuff.
Yeah.
For me, they're leagues ahead of everybody.
Yeah. But it's still so not great. And I guess the reason I ask is because like you look at, Queen or all of these bands that will go find a new singer that imitates the mm-hmm. The singer that they had originally, right? That it's great. I mean, they do a good job because there's so much data from that original source out there in the public domain that like this, you know, 16-year-old kid in China can just watch hours of YouTube video and learn how to imitate that voice perfectly, right? Yeah. To the point, I'm not saying that that's Queen. I think Journey did something like that with a kid from like Vietnam or something. But like that, it would that not be better because of the instinctual, like the human's instinctual ability to do it? Then, but I don't know. I mean, like the AI.
I think digital makeup is going to be the thing that changes it. I think that you'll have a whatever his name is that played the Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
And that they'll just do a really good job of being able to face map to the point where you lose your disbelief really fast, really quickly.
Yeah.
That it, like, even like, I mean, just even look from Rogue One when they did that and they did Leia right at the end. Mm-hmm. And, so they had those two characters done and it was great. I remember seeing it and being like, oh, that's way better than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. But also, like you say, it's just short of being believable.
Right.
But still pretty cool. And then, in The Mandalorian season 2, when Skywalker shows up, spoiler alert, and they generated his voice to be younger Luke Skywalker, and they found an actor that looks just like him, but then they digitally touched it up and it looks great.
Which is funny now that Mark Hamill is actually a voice actor.
but he sounds like an old raspy man now.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah,
like
yeah.
a hey kids, you know, like or hey yeah. guys, wait up, I'm gonna save the universe. Like he can't recreate that. And so
yeah.
They took his actual voice and then processed it with his existing stuff. Now think about it this way though, Brandon. Like even for you, there's hundreds of hours of material online that if we fed this podcast, we could write a script or have an AI write a script and it could
Can we please do this? Somebody please do this. Oh,
no, let's figure
gosh.
It out. Let's do this. Let's find an AI to write it, and then we'll try and figure out how to.
You've seen? I mean, we've talked about them on the show. Like the Netflix did a stand up comedy thing where they just fed up every stand up comic, you know, set into an algorithm or, you know, into a, what are those called?
What was that cartoon thing that we were watching too?
That's one of those things that I was talking about. It's like
the deep
horror,
mind.
They did a horror story, right? Like,
yeah.
Where, oh my gosh, like if we could find a way, I mean, these things, they need the data. We have the data. Us two idiots have been talking to each other on the medium like this for at least the last 5 years.
We've got 5 years of soccer podcast, Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, now available on your podcast provider of choice or at the Odyssey app.
I would laugh.
It would talk sports and nerd talk at the same time. Like, I think it could be insane, dude. We could just feed
Stryker
it.
Striker for Rebels, James Earl Ladero.
Darth Rui Diaz.
Darth Loggerway, actually.
Thank you. Yes. No, we could even feed it these sheets, dude. We could even feed it this data that we like draw up as our show prep. I think we should look into this for real and see what it is. Meanwhile, though, the future of lawn mowing sounds way cooler. I know it's pretty cool as it is, but it's also now like 10 times more dangerous. And yes, more dangerous than a spinning piece of sharpened metal.
Dude, that's okay? How my grandpa lost half a finger mowing the lawn.
You know, you don't put your hand into the thing while it's on, right?
Well, it doesn't help him now because he's dead.
Well,
it wasn't because of the finger, and it wasn't because of the lawnmower. It was cancer. It's way too close to the nuke.
So a home inventor made a Roomba-type automated smart rover and affixed a laser to the top of it to zap the grass shorter. And, like, lasers don't work, like, in Star Wars, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo, you know what I mean? Like, where it just, like, blows a hole through stuff. It's like a continuous beam that just cooks things away, right? So he just strapped this thing on there to keep the grass all at a certain level. But what about, like, the fence around your yard, or the squirrel, or the cat from the neighbor that comes down there, and then someone else comes by, like, hey, you guys barbecuing? And be like, yes, that's what we're doing. I just like the sound of a laser-equipped robot driving around before it gets the command to turn on us.
I mean, I feel like...
That's so Gregor!
That's so new!
I've been worried about... you know, we were talking earlier about, like, what would post-apocalyptic anything look like, where all of a sudden we have to fight robots, like in Terminator, right? Well, like, right now, I feel like my odds are pretty good, because robots, like, I mean... There's not enough of those Boston Dynamics robots unless, you know, General Kenobi ordered them to be replicated at a pace that we were not aware of. There's not enough of those robots, which I think is the only one that I couldn't take in a fight right now. Like, I'm going to back that up. I think that there's probably a few robots. I just would have to put a little bit more thought into it.
This is the TV show I want to see. Brandon fights a robot.
Question of the week. Which robot do you think you couldn't take in a fight? No, is this a simulation? No, but like, the closer we get to like Roombas with lasers, killing the squirrels in your yard, the more I'm like, oh, maybe actually I will drive closer to the nuke, because I don't think I could take that robot.
Yeah, I mean, or a flamethrower, or just a gun.
I mean,
like, yeah, it has a lot of problems when you shoot the gun. It has the, you know, the recoil or whatever. Like, yeah, they'll just put a spring on it.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised it's taken us this long, because, like, you obviously there was that show BattleBots where we basically made this robot, except it wasn't lasers. It was like,
is there a show that has more promise and delivers less than BattleBots?
Yeah, no. No,
because it's just like
that show sounds like amazing, and then you watch it and you're like, okay, well, you just get the spinny one, and the spinny one's gonna beat all the other ones. Like, it's
no, but like the one that's just like a compact, like ramp, like a simple physics ramp on the front, and all it does is just drive under him and go flip him over, and then the guy's like, well, I don't know how to get up. Now what?
Yeah,
and you're like, game over.
Yeah,
I win. And like the one that spins like a like the lawnmower of them is like, well, you can hit me all you want, but I've got this steel plate. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, can you just build a Roomba? Like, the bottom of a lawnmower is the shape of a Roomba, right? Yeah. Like, just put a bunch of blades on the bottom of a Roomba. And
the top.
And the top, obviously, because you don't want a crow landing on that bad boy and pooping all over your yard. This bad boy,
oh, I thought you meant for BattleBots. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
I think they have a remote control
like,
one, though.
About,
I think there
like,
is.
Mowing your lawn.
I think there is one. I think there's like a legit like blade powered remote lawnmower that can do it for you. Set
there
up little zones, and what I would do is I would keep it outside, and then when the mole pops its head up,
it's like 14th century France in the back of Gregor's house.
Yeah, well, I don't actually have a yard, so it's a lawn, so it really doesn't.
Dude, I do have a lawn, and let me tell you, like, you don't think there's a right way and a wrong way to mow your grass until you have your own lawn, and then somebody like your father, who is well equipped at mowing the lawn.
Bad news, buddy. My dad is in the earth.
Not your father. My father.
Tom is like, you're mowing it wrong. Where's Greg? I won't pay him to yell at him to do it better.
Pokes his head out of the ground. Oh no, the Roomba.
Whack! I gotta admit, I'm out of time,
okay.
And so unfortunately, but this we got to come back around to this episode's question of the week.
Question of the week was: what is this a simulation? Is this a simulation? And also,
yes.
Can you feed Gregor and I's data into a machine that's gonna make us a funny story?
I have been driving around in like a state of panicked depression. Like, I think it's called manic.
Yeah.
But like a simultaneously that and feeling just awful.
Yeah, great.
And then I like listen, so I'm like looking for things to listen to, and I listen to John Green's audiobook. He reads it himself. He's like a, he's a wonderful person. He's written a bunch of
That's what you think. It was actually a artificial intelligence version of John Green's voice.
Well, so he like, he's like hella depressing because he's like a depressed dude himself, but he's like really smart, and he wrote a review of the Anthropocene, which is the epoch that we're living in right now, where the humans ruin the earth, you know? And so he wrote a review of just like, it's just like a bunch of essays about like just reviewing like the largest paintball in the world or whatever. It's just like, it's seemingly random, but it's really well done, just all these different aspects of life and stuff. But he reads quite slowly, and he doesn't, he has kind of an NPR voice a little bit. And his brother Hank is very popular also for the science stuff that he does on TikTok. The two of them are fantastic. But I found myself listening to this, and it was like droning on and on about all this depressive stuff. And I was like feeling worse and worse. So someone was like, speed it up. And I did to 1.2, and it made it like a lot more listenable. But as I was listening to it, he was hitting on all these like key topics that I'm feeling right now. And like really oddly specifically connecting with me in a way that a great artist does, where you think like you're kind of like kin, you're like, you know, two peas in a pod type mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, oh, if we hung out, it would take him an hour of being anxious to get over his anxiety, and then we would just sit and talk about wild things forever.
And then you'd be like, hey man, this is really great, but could you actually talk a little faster?
And so when I'm listening to you, I can speed you up. So yeah. Just chop, chop.
Let me see that dial in your lower back.
So, but then like, then I couldn't find anything, any fictional. I'm having a hard time finding fictional stuff to listen to because I'm devoid of hope and feeling bleak. And so like fiction seems like a lie to me right now. And so then I put on like an audiobook for a reading of Stephen Hawking's, sorry, it's Taylor Hawkins, Stephen Hawking. I put on Stephen
Both
Hawking's A Brief History of Time. I started listening to that, and it was like, there's just these small questions that get asked that don't add up for me. And it's like, you know, the nature of time. And if there was a big bang, then is this like the second go-round of the universe? Like it all collapsed on itself and then it exploded again, and then, or is this the infinite number of the universe? Or what is infinity? There's all these clever not logical, but thought processes you can get stuck in thinking about what everything is, where it makes it feel like there's not an answer because it's a simulation. That and the machine is feeding me things to match my feelings. And then there's just like a lot of weird stuff that happens where you're like, how did we invent helicopters? And like, what a stupid thing that is.
And what's root beer?
Yeah, and what's root beer? And, you know, there's just like a lot of these things that I think about and I'm like, that's insane that we came up with something like, dude, that this isn't real.
Think about the fact that right now, if you're listening to this, if you're a listener that's, or even the fact that you and I are talking to each other, right, are the voice, the physical noise that we are making in the space that we are in is going into a machine that is processing and translating that physical data and regurgitating it out in a speaker or in a headphone or wherever you are listening to that, in a way that is replicating, it's not my voice, it's replicating my voice to you on the other side. And
all over the same wires. Like, we all share the same wire to get from Spokane to Snohomish.
Yeah.
It's like the same, like maybe it's 1,000 wires, but it's like all of us are doing the same thing at the same time, or it goes to space and back.
And it's happening in real time. And like that.
Real time.
Like, think about, I was thinking about this literally this morning, about like there's a microchip on your phone that when I listen to the Nerd Talk Plus on my podcast app, that it is just, there is data stored somewhere.
Yeah,
and it's in a physical storage. Like, what's on there? What's in there? The government won't tell us.
Worse yet, I like, right now, I'm pretty convinced that, like, not really, but like, when I start thinking about it, I'm convinced that you're not real.
Oh, I'm not.
That this is, okay. Well, thanks for joining us. No, that like, that it's, that my mind has created you for this purpose of this interaction. Like, things are going great and it creates great things to happen, and then it's like, well, time for a plot twist and things aren't going great now. Like, let's introduce some characters that can play up to that. And it's just like personality stuff that like I can only see part of what I'm like stuck in a rut or a loop or whatever, and so like it. Let's write some new characters. The AI is just writing things to make it interesting, and sometimes they're super weird, like helicopters or whales or whatever. Oh, so dude, it's whales, like, you know what? But I like, how weird are whales? You know, and I don't really want the answer to that because I have to go for real. But
yeah.
Let's just think about it over the next week, and we'll talk. We'll circle back around to it next week. It's crazy.
Do you want to know what I'm going to be thinking about for the next week?
Yeah.
That there's actually one hot chick in your class, and you've just said that there's two in order to sow chaos. It's like when you release pigs into a high school, and you release three pigs, but you number them 1, 2, and 4.
just the people are like super. Like,
where's the third one? Where's the third one? Where's the second hot chick?
Oh man, that's maniacal. That's terrible. All right, well, that brings us to the end of yet another heady show. This one actually...
Yeah, we talked about some stuff.
Yeah, so I'm curious to know, other than that there's two hot chicks in my Spanish class, what did we learn this week? Someday I'll know that in past tense, and I'll be able to ask you that in Spanish in past tense.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I actually learned so much about Neptune, and then I forgot it all, so...
It has a planet or a planetoid that is caught in its gravity well that orbits Triton. That
Triton.
Orbits the opposite way of the other moons.
Yeah, cool. What did you learn this week?
I guess I learned that... I guess I learned that, like, the idea of, like, why I think it's a simulation and why someone else does are different.
It sounds like if you boil it down, you think that this is a simulation because helicopters exist.
Man, one of those ones with the tube.
Yeah.
Flew over me the other day, it flew right over my house, and I was like, this is too weird. It's like, helicopters are so... I understand the physics and everything, but just like the fact that someone would... make that and then fly in one, and then I gotta say shout outs to my buddy Sean. He's had really bad experiences with that, and I'm sorry that I know he's listening to this and that we've just gone.
He's
on
like, stop saying it.
But you know what else I learned this week?
What?
Sean's not real. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah. Hey, thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus every weekday, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. live on the Odyssey app, or of course you can get us on demand from the Odyssey app or the podcast provider of your choice. I'm Gregor, he's Brandon. Have a great week.
And this has just been artificial intelligence versions of our voices in your ears.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sport, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I gotta admit, I'm out of time,
okay.
And so unfortunately, but this, we gotta come back around to this episode's question of the week.
Question of the week was, what is this a simulation? Is this a simulation? And also,
yes.
Can you feed Gregor and I's data into a machine that's gonna make us a funny story?
I have been driving around in like a state of panicked depression. Like, yeah. I think it's called manic.
Manic. Yeah.
But like a simultaneously that and feeling just awful.
Yeah, great.
And then I like listen. So I'm like looking for things to listen to. And I listen to John Green's audiobook. He reads it himself. He's a wonderful person. He's written a bunch of.
That's what you think. It was actually a artificial intelligence version of John Green's voice.
Well, so he's hella depressing because he's like a depressed dude himself, but he's like really smart, and he wrote a review of the Anthropocene, which is the epoch that we're living in right now, where the humans ruin the earth, you know? And so he wrote a review of just like, it's just like a bunch of essays about like just reviewing like the largest paintball in the world or whatever. It's just like, it's seemingly random, but it's really well done, just all these different aspects of life and stuff. But he reads quite slowly, and he has kind of an NPR voice a little bit. And his brother Hank is very popular also for the science stuff that he does on TikTok. The two of them are fantastic. But I found myself listening to this, and it was like droning on and on about all this depressive stuff. And I was like feeling worse and worse. So someone was like, speed it up. And I did to 1.2, and it made it like a lot more listenable. But as I was listening to it, he was hitting on all these like key topics that I'm feeling right now. And like really oddly specifically connecting with me in a way that a great artist does, where you think like you're kind of like kin, you're like, you know, two peas in a pod type mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, oh, if we hung out, it would take him an hour of being anxious to get over his anxiety, and then we would just sit and talk about wild things forever.
And then you'd be like, hey man, this is really great, but could you actually talk a little faster?
And so when I'm listening to you, I can speed you up. So yeah. Just chop, chop.
Wait, let me see that dial in your lower back.
But then I couldn't find anything, fictional. I'm having a hard time finding fictional stuff to listen to because I'm devoid of hope and feeling bleak. And so like fiction seems like a lie to me right now. And so then I put on like an audiobook for a reading of Stephen Hawking's, sorry, it's Taylor Hawkins, Stephen Hawking. I put on Stephen
Both
Hawking's A Brief History of Time. I started listening to that, and it was like, there's just these small questions that get asked that don't add up for me. And it's like, you know, the nature of time. And if there was a Big Bang, then is this like the second go-round of the universe? Like it all collapsed on itself and then it exploded again? And then, or is this the infinite number of the universe? Or what is infinity? There's all these clever thought processes you can get stuck in thinking about what everything is, where it makes it feel like there's not an answer because it's a simulation. That and the machine is feeding me things to match my feelings. And then there's just like a lot of weird stuff that happens where you're like, how did we invent helicopters? And like, what a stupid thing that is.
And what's root beer?
Yeah, and what's root beer? And, you know, there's just like a lot of these things that I think about and I'm like, that's insane that we came up with something like that. This isn't real.
Think about the fact that right now, if you're listening to this, if you're a listener that's here, or even the fact that you and I are talking to each other, right? Are the voice, the physical noise that we are making in the space that we are in is going into a machine that is processing and translating that physical data and regurgitating it out in a speaker or in a headphone or wherever you are listening to that in a way that is replicating It's not my voice. It's replicating my voice to you on the other side. And
all over the same wires. Like, we all share the same wire to get from Spokane to Snohomish. Yeah. It's like the same, like, yeah. Maybe it's 1,000 wires, but it's like all of us are doing the same thing at the same time, or it goes to space and back.
And it's happening in real time. And like that.
Real time.
Like, think about, I was thinking about this literally this morning, about like there's a microchip on your phone that when I listen to the Nerd Talk Plus on my podcast app, that it is just. There is data stored somewhere,
yeah,
and it's in a physical storage. Like, what's on there? What's in there? The government won't tell us.
Worse yet, I like right now, I'm pretty convinced that, like, not really, but like when I start thinking about it, I'm convinced that you're not real.
Oh, I'm not.
That this is okay. Well, thanks for joining us. No, that like that it's that my mind has created you for this purpose of. This interaction, like, things are going great and it creates great things to happen, and then it's like, well, time for a plot twist and things aren't going great now. Yeah. Like, let's introduce some characters that can play up to that. And it's just like personality stuff that, like, I can only see part of what I'm like stuck in a rut or a loop or whatever, and so like let's write some new characters. The AI is just writing things to make it interesting, and sometimes they're super weird, like helicopters or whales or whatever. Oh, so dude, it's whales, like, yeah. You know what? But I like, how weird are whales? You know, and I don't really want the answer to that because I have to go for real. But
yeah.
Let's just think about it over the next week, and we'll talk. We'll circle back around to it next week. It's crazy.
Do you want to know what I'm going to be thinking about for the next week?
Yeah.
That there's actually one hot chick in your class, and you've just said that there's two in order to sow chaos. It's like when you release. Pigs into a high school, and you release three pigs, but you number them 1, 2, and 4.
just the people are like super. Like,
where's the third one? Where's the third one? Where's the second hot chick?
Oh man, that's maniacal. That's terrible. All right, well, that brings us to the end of yet another heady show. This one actually,
we talked about some stuff.
Yeah, so I'm curious to know, other than that there's two hot chicks in my Spanish class, what did we learn this week? Someday I'll know that in past tense, and I'll be able to ask you that in Spanish in past tense.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I actually learned so much about Neptune, and then I forgot it all, so...
It has a planet or a planetoid that is caught in its gravity well that...
Titan.
Orbits Triton. That orbits the opposite way of the other moons.
Yeah, cool. What did you learn this week?
I guess I learned that... I guess I learned that, like, the idea of, like, why I think it's a simulation and why someone else does are different.
It sounds like if you boil it down, you think that this is a simulation because helicopters exist.
Man, one of those ones with the tube flew over me the other day, it flew right over my house, and I was like, this is too weird. It's like, helicopters are so, I understand the physics and everything, but just like the fact that someone would make that and then fly in one, and then I gotta say shout outs to my buddy Sean, he's had really bad experiences with that, and I'm sorry that I know he's listening to this and that we've just gone.
He's like, stop saying it.
But you know what else I learned this week?
What?
Sean's not real. Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah! Hey, thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus every weekday, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. live on the Odyssey app, or of course you can get us on demand from the Odyssey app or the podcast provider of your choice. I'm Gregor, he's Brandon. Have a great week!
And this has just been artificial intelligence versions of our voices in your ears.